in these days. We're going to turn to God's Word in 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2. My text is found in the end of verse 6. Well, we'll read the whole verse 6 together. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk as he walked. And so to walk as he walked. And so what we really have here is walking like Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what John is writing to these believers. He wants them to live in this world. He doesn't want them to live for themselves. He doesn't want them to walk like the world. He wants them to walk like Jesus Christ. And that's why he writes these words. To walk as he walked. So let's pray and ask God's help to be with us. Father in heaven, I pray you be with us around the word of God. Our hearts have been touched as we have sang that great hymn. Oh, for a closer walk with God. And Lord, may you do it in my heart and may you do it in all the hearts of your people. And draw us closer to thyself. Bless us around thy word now, I pray. May the word come with power to our souls. And Lord, may the word of God change our lives today. May we just not be hearers of thy word, but be doers of thy word, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you happen to click on the internet about holiday tours in Israel, you'll find a number of companies and they're advertising the forthcoming journey to the Holy Land. In other words, they explain where they'll be going to. They'll be explaining the places that they will be visiting. Sometimes to help their advertising, they put up titles. Sometimes you'll read the words, walk where Jesus walked. And so they say, well, we're going to go to Galilee. We're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go to Calvary. And you know that little song that's sang sometimes? I walk today where Jesus walked. In days of long ago, I wandered down each path he knew with reverent step and slow. So maybe this idea of selling our package comes from this text. But I want you to see here this morning that John is not telling us to walk where Jesus walked. And maybe there are some people here today who say, well, I have been in Israel and I visited Galilee, I visited Jerusalem. I've been in different places where Jesus walked, and that's been a blessing, no doubt, to your heart. But the text is not telling us here this morning to walk where Jesus walked. The text is telling us here this morning we are to walk as he walked. And that's a different story altogether. We're to walk like Jesus. As you and I live in this world, we have a great example. We have one to follow. We have one to lead us. We have been singing about him here this morning, following Jesus. And we are to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Remember, Peter gave the same instructions. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So we are to follow the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is saying, follow the Lord Jesus Christ's steps. John here is writing and he's telling us that we're to walk. We're to walk like Jesus Christ in this world. So here's a question to all of our hearts. How did Jesus walk? The Lord Jesus Christ, who lived in this world for around 33 years, how did he walk in this world? Because if you and I find out how the Lord Jesus walked in this world, then that's how you and I used to walk in this world. That's what the Word of God here is instructing us. We are to walk as Jesus walked. Well, I want to give some suggestions to you here today about the walk of Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, his walk, the walk of our blessed Savior. It was a walk of holiness. You only have to read the Bible and watch as he walked through this world. You can see very, very clearly that the supreme stamp upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ was holiness. And as he walked in this world, as he lived in this world, he walked in holiness. Of course, you read Isaiah 59, verse 7, talks about other people walking and living in this world. It says, their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Here's a people living in the world and their feet is running after wickedness. And their feet is running after sin. They're not walking like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was so different. He walked in holiness. That's what we find when we come to the Bible about the walk of Jesus Christ. It was a walk of holiness without sin. And this is brought clearly to us here in the Word of the Living God. In 1 Peter 2, verse 22, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. And John himself here in 1 John 3, verse 5 says, of the Lord Jesus, and in him is no sin. No matter, friends, when you listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter when you looked at all his steps, there's one thing you never saw. You never saw sin, the life of Christ. His walk was a walk of holiness. You find he resisted temptation to sin. Remember the old devil came to him in Matthew chapter 4, and he says, well, turn these stones into bread. He says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Cast yourself down. The devil, he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ to sin, but he failed. He failed. The Lord Jesus never sinned. Do you remember he said to his enemies? In John chapter 8, verse 46, he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? Which one? He challenged all his enemies. Tell me, show me where I have went wrong. Show me where I have sinned. They were all silent. They were all silent. Because the Lord Jesus Christ walked the pathway of holiness. He kept the law of God fully. Remember in Matthew 5 verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And he fulfilled the law of God fully. He never sinned in word or thought and deed. His walk was a walk of holiness. Remember, says Paul writing in Hebrews 7, verse 25, for such an high priest before us, who became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. There it is. There's a divine testimony of the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked in holiness. Well, what about us? How are you and I to walk in this world? We're to walk in holiness. That's the teaching of the Bible. As I said in our text, we are to walk as he walked. And the Word of God over and over again tells God's people that our life, our walk in this world is to be a walk of holiness. Remember 1 Peter 1 verse 15, he says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now notice, here's the command, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now the word conversation doesn't mean talk. It means behavior. Your behavior, your life. How you live in this world is important. It's important to God. God has instructed us. Here's how I want you to walk in this world. Now, I have to say, we'll never reach the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are to strive to be pure and to be perfect in this world, and we are to live a life of holiness. And God tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy, in all manner. A conversation. It's not just really referring here. I want to say that it's not referring here to when you come to church. And it does refer to you come to church. We're on our best behavior. Not right, you come to church. But it's referring to when you're at home, watching the television, or you're on the internet, or you're on the phone. It refers to the time you're in your company with your friends in the workplace, the universities, the school. You're to be holy in all manner of your conversation. This has always been God's standard for his people. It's just not a New Testament standard. Do you remember over in Exodus 19, verse 6, and it says, And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. And that was away in the Old Testament times of Moses. How did God want Moses and the children of Israel to walk and to live in the world? He wanted to walk in holiness. Of course, like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to flee temptation. We are to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said to every child of God today, are you walking like the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your walk in this world, is it a walk of holiness? Or are the things that's crept into your heart, are the things that's crept into your life, crept into your family, that shouldn't be there? Shouldn't be there. Well, it can happen to every one of us. But we are to walk like Jesus walked. Our walk is to be a walk of holiness. Keep away from temptation. It's good to see so many young people here today. Maybe you're going to university or to some college or a new school when we start back up again in September. You are going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to go into the world. You're going to be tempted to go to places that you don't want to go to. You're going to be tempted to do things that are wrong and sinful in this world. Well, you remember the Word of God. When you go to those places, university, college, schools, workplaces, those who's older in the congregation, what does God want? He wants you to walk among those people as Jesus walked. Show them you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Show them that Christ is your Savior and you love him with all of your heart. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul says. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. You walk as Jesus walked. You may be hated. You may be despised. You may be not liked. Well, what about it? Oh, for a closer walk with God. I want to walk like Jesus walked. His walk was a walk of holiness. He walked also in holiness. He walked humbly. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked with great humility and meekness. So much so, you know, when the eyes of people fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't know who he was. He didn't go about, you know, with chest out, I'm this and that and the other. He walked very meekly and lowly and humbly in this world. In John chapter 1, for instance, in verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Imagine, the Lord Jesus Christ, he made the world and he came into this world and he walked in this world. But they didn't know him. Nobody pointed a finger and says, there's the one who made the world. No, they didn't know it. Remember he says in Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Oh, the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked humbly in this world. And that is brought out very clearly for us in one of the greatest passages in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ. How the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. Listen, to be equal with God. And there's one for the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christ. He's equal with God the Father. He's God the Son. And the Bible here tells us about Christ, the greatness of our Savior. He's equal with God. We see him up in the heavens. He's Lord of Lords and he's King of Kings. But when Paul is writing here, what do we find the Lord Jesus? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and being fashioned, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you can follow the descent here of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's up in glory. He's equal with God. And he comes down into this world. And he makes himself of no reputation. And he's made in the likeness of men. And the Bible says this of Christ. He humbleth himself. He's like a servant. He's like a servant. Even unto death. But it's not finished. Even the death of the cross. And here we have the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's king. He became man. And he went to the cross. He walked in humility here in this world. You see that in his descent here, coming down from heaven. You can see it in his duties. You know, in Matthew 12, verse 18, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." He's speaking here of Christ. And it says here about the ministry of the Lord Jesus. "He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." In other words, he didn't go about beating a big drum. No, he went about quietly, yet serving God the Father with all of his heart. He went about doing good in his duties and in his death right down to the cross. Remember here the teaching of the Word of God. We are to walk as Jesus walked. How did he walk? He was humble. He was humble. He who is God became man down to the cross, even the death of the cross. That's how you and I have to walk. If you really look into your own heart, and I look into my own heart this morning, we have nothing to be proud about. If we know ourselves, if everybody knew us the way you know we know ourselves, you would be ashamed. So would I. They could see right into our hearts and right into our minds. We know what we are. It says in Romans 7, verse 24, "O wretched man that I am." We know the battles, we know the failures, how we feel the Lord in our life. We have nothing to be proud about. Oh, we marvel. He loves us. The Lord loves us with a great and eternal love, the people of God here this morning. But we are to be humble. Walk with humility here in this world. We remember, as it says in Genesis 3, verse 19, "The sweat of thy face I shall eat bread till I return unto the ground, for out of it was I taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Do you want to really know what we are? Do you really want to know what we are? Do you want to know where we came from? The dust of the ground. That's where we came from. Now I know, of course, we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. God has formed us greatly. But we are to be humble. Especially, can I say it to you, in our duties. There are many duties to do in this church. I'm glad to hear of the children's work. Glad to hear of the outreach work. The missions plan, that's great. Keep the fire going. Keep going for Christ, every child of God. Get the fire burning in your heart for the Lord Jesus. But let's not be proud about our labours. If it's a work that God has given you to do, praise the Lord for that. Well, he's allowed you to be in this work of reaching others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But certainly, if that's the case, it should not make us proud. We have nothing to be proud about. Because we're only sinners saved by grace. Let's be humble in our duties. Let's remember the Lord has done everything for us. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, listen, I am what I am." Why are you in church today? Why are you saved, child of God? Why has God given you a part to play in this congregation? Or perhaps you're from some visiting congregation this morning. Why is it you're in some other church and doing a work of God? It's the grace of God in your heart that has caused you to be different from other members of your family and other friends and other neighbors. We're in the house of God this morning because the Lord's grace has come into our lives in Christ. I am what I am this morning. I say this to myself this morning. I am what I am by the grace of God. What would you be but for the grace of God? Some of us back in it will be in the world and sin. Some of us, I believe, will be in hell. But we are what we are by the grace of God. That keeps us humble, doesn't it? Remember, in Acts 20, verse 19, speaking, there he says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind." Paul was speaking about his ministry. He was a mighty, mighty man of God. He saw places converted to Jesus Christ. He could do great miracles. If any man should be filled with pride, the Apostle Paul could say, well, I'm a mighty man of God. I can do great miracles. I'm seeing thousands of people saved. I'm seeing churches formed. Well, he could have been filled, but he wasn't. He wasn't filled with pride. He was filled with humility. Do you know why? Do you know why this was the case? Because the Lord did it all. The Lord did it all, you see. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. So we are to be humble in this world. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, he says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy. And notice these words, and to walk humbly with thy God. That was a way in Micah. He was saying the same lessons to the people. Live in this world. Love God. But remember this. As you live in this world, walk humbly. Walk humbly with thy God. So we are to walk in humility. Let's not boast about who we are. Let's not boast about what we do for Christ. There are people, of course, do that. I have met them in my ministry, and no doubt you have met them as well. And you meet them, and they start to tell you all they're doing for the Lord. And you have to stand there quietly and listen to this whole. Now, there's nothing wrong with bringing a testimony of things God's doing in your life, but you know the type of people I'm talking about. John Newton, we know, of course, was a converted slave trader. And he's a Christian and a great man of God. But the day came that he had to die. And when he was dying, a friend went in to see him. And the friend expressed a concern about him dying and leaving us. And he says, it's true. He says, I am going away. But you'll soon come after me. In other words, I'm just paraphrasing it here. He says, you'll come into heaven. And he says, I'll tell you where you'll find me. Now remember, John Newton, a mighty man of God, wrote that great hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Man used of God to reach many people with the gospel of Christ. And he said to his friend, when you come into heaven, I'll tell you where you'll find me. So the friend was listening. He said, I'll tell you where you'll find him. I'll be sitting at the feet of the faith whom Jesus saved in the dying moments on the cross. How humble this was. You know where you'll find me in heaven? I'll be sitting at the feet of the dying faith who was saved. He didn't say, I tell you where you'll find me. I'll be sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll be in the highest place in heaven. No, he was really saying, I'll be in the lowest place. I'll be sitting at the feet of that faith who was saved at the last moment. Oh, dear friends, he walked humbly. We are to walk as Jesus walked in this life. In this world, we are to walk humbly. Can I say this? He walked in harmony. What I mean by that, he walked in harmony with the Father, doing his will. Doing the Father's will. He never veered, I said to you this morning, he never veered to the right. He never veered to the left. No, no. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he lived in this world, he walked in this world doing the Father's will. Remember he said himself? In John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And I want you to notice this. I want every child of God in the meeting to notice how Christ lived in this world. He says here himself, that he seeks not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And he lived his life here doing the will of God. That's how he did it. That's how he walked. That's how he lived in this world. Doing the will of God the Father. Now I want to say to every child of God this morning, are you walking in the will of God? Are you in the place where God wants you to be? I meet with Christians and they make decisions in this world. In this life now, we all have to make decisions about life, where we're going to live, what we're going to do. Maybe young people about their careers. But here's a question I want to ask you. Are you doing the will of God? Have you stopped Have you asked God, what would they have me to do? In Acts, remember, it was Saul said, he said, Lord, what would they have me to do? I never forget the day that question came with power to my soul. I was only a young saved man. I was there a few weeks or so after, a month after I got converted. And a man came and preached. And he says, I want you to say, what does God want you to do in your life for him? And my heart was bursting because I wanted to know, what does God want me to do for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I couldn't wait to get home. And I got on my knees and I prayed, Lord, what would they have me to do? I wanted to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd lived for the world for years. And he had saved me. And I wanted to live for him. I thank God he showed me what he wanted me to do. And I gave my life to Christ. But many people make decisions. Never ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. He will direct all his people. We have only one life to live in this world. Let's walk like Jesus walked, in harmony with God the Father. Let him direct us and guide us on how we are to walk and live. Remember in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, we are to present our bodies, living sacrifices unto God with a reasonable service for the perfect will of God. We are to do this. Of course, walk in harmony with his people. You'll find the Lord Jesus, that when he walked in harmony, he always displayed love and he always displayed kindness to the people of God. He was loving, he was kind, he was not bad tempered, he didn't argue, he didn't fight. You see, he walked humbly and he walked in harmony in this world. Well, that's the way you and I are to live in this world. We're to walk in harmony with people in this world. Remember? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you and malice, and be ye kind one to another and tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We are to love one another. We are to be kind to one another. We are to put away bitterness and wrath and evil speaking because they can creep into all of our hearts. Maybe there's some here today in the church. You say, well, you're touching a raw nerve in my heart. But in my heart there is bitterness against someone. And some people I don't really like. And I speak against them. And I don't like them. Is that what God wants? Maybe he says, I don't speak to them. I haven't spoken to them for years. I asked somebody one day about a member of their family, how were they doing? And they informed me they hadn't spoken to that person for years. For many years. So how we are to live? So how Christ walked? Let's walk in harmony. Let's do the will of God. Let's be in harmony one with another. I am not perfect and you're not perfect, that's for sure. There's always things in our lives that will rub one another up the wrong way. That is true of all people. But let's walk like Jesus walked. Let's oversee the faults of others and walk in love one to another. We are to love. This epistle tells us over and over again that we're to love one another. Love the people of God. We are to love each other. We are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're in the family of God. We're all going home to heaven. So let's all walk together, arm in arm. We belong to Jesus Christ. Let's walk together. Let's walk together in harmony. You see, we are to walk as Jesus walked in this world. Now, could I say lastly that he walked honestly. And what I mean by that, he walked in the truth. Every step he took was a step of truth. Remember, he says, I am the way, the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. He's a God that cannot lie. He walked in the truth according to the word of the living God. Now, he was accused. He was accused by his enemies of doing things that are wrong. For instance, in Matthew 9, verse 3, the Pharisee said, this man blasphemeth. He's a blasphemer. Do you hear him? But the Lord Jesus never lied. He never cursed. He never blasphemed. In fact, 1 Peter 2, verse 22 said, who did no sin, neither was gay, listen, found where? In his mouth. There's no deceit here in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked honestly. And that's how we are to walk. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, I want you to listen to these words, child of God, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without. Now notice about our walk, we are to walk honest to them without the unsaved. They are to see that we're different. They men use deceitful words and deceitful tactics. But that's not the case with you and I. We are to be honest in our business, in our dealings with people, in our words, in our actions. We do certainly not want to be known as people you couldn't trust. We want them to know, people, we tell the truth. Always tell the truth. May get you into trouble, young people. But always tell the truth. And always be known as a person who can be trusted with what comes out of your mouth. Because you tell lies. Nobody will believe a word that you say. I used to work with a fella, and he was one of the hardest workers I ever worked with, but he was also one of the biggest liars I ever worked with. And you could got to a stage, I could not believe one word he spoke. No matter if he's telling me the truth, I didn't know. Now, he wasn't saved. But we're to be honest. And I said to young people, be honest with your parents. Be honest with them. If they ask you where you're going, don't be saying, I'm going to such and such a place and you're not going there at all. That's lies. Be honest with your dad and mum. The day's coming, you'll be a dad and mum and you'll find it's just not as easy a job as you think. Let's be honest. Be honest with your parents. Be honest one with another. We to walk honestly. That's how Christ walked. That's how we are to live in this world. Can I say lastly and quickly, our time is gone. He walked heavenly. Because he says, my kingdom is not of this world. Every step he was going to heaven. Of course, dear friends, that's where you and I's going. Let's have a heavenly walk. That's why I said, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world here. This old world is passing away. We're going to heaven. We are a heavenly people bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. This world is not our home. We're going home to heaven. And the Lord Jesus walked in this world. He was going home to glory. Remember, Hebrews 11 verse 10 says, Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know how Abraham lived in this world? He was looking for this city. This heavenly city, he was looking for it. He wasn't looking for the world. He's going home. And so are I. You and I, child of God, is going home. We're in this world for a short period of time. But we're going home to heaven. We're to walk like Jesus walked. So let's do it. If you're out of step, maybe you have been out of step. It's easy to get out of step. You see the bonds are around the 12th and 13th. There's some boys out of step. Well, it's easy to get out of step. Well, let's get back into step. Hear the beat of the drum and get that step going this morning. And walk as Jesus walked. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Are you out of step this morning? Let's walk as Jesus walked. May the Lord touch our hearts, draw his people back to himself, and those who's on